Welcome to Power Play as we recap the results and crunch the consequences from a shocking real-life reality show which has changed America and its relationship with Canada. Coming up, we will survey the day-after reactions to President-elect Trump and the Democratic Party with recriminations of the Democratic Party with our reporters. We will bring in our dynamic duo of analysts, including Conrad Black, who calls Donald Trump a personal friend. We will have Canada's ambassador to Washington and a former foreign affairs minister set up the new Trudeau-Trump relationship and that impact on trade and the environment. And we will hold a pollster's feet to the fire to find out why that industry missed the Trump wave almost entirely. But first, a quick replay of last night's greatest hits and misses as Trump captured the White House. His support was wide and deep in the lower middle income suburbs and rural areas and amongst the least educated workers in swing states and even some supposedly safe Democratic states. Here's the sound of history being made as the president-elect took the stage early this morning.
We must reclaim our country's destiny and dream big and bold and daring. We have to do that. We're going to dream of things for our country and beautiful things and successful things once again. I want to tell the world community that while we will always put America's interests first, we will deal fairly with everyone, with everyone.
Hillary Clinton belatedly appeared this morning to concede the election and urge her supporters to approach the Trump presidency with an open mind.
This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for. And I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
Yeah, upbeat Prime Minister Justin Trudeau took the stage earlier today to tell a youth rally not to despair at the prospect of a Trump presidency.
The relationship between Canada and the United States is based on shared values and shared hopes and dreams, and we will always work well together. We are strong because we listen to each other and we respect each other. We share a purpose, our two countries, where we want to build places where the middle class and those working hard to join it have a chance. And I'm going to work with President-elect Trump's administration as we move forward in a positive way for not just Canadians and Americans, but the whole world.
All right, let's wade through this seismic shift on the political landscape with CTV's Eyes on the Scene. Mirella Fernandez joins us from New York City. Scott Laurie is in Washington, D.C. All right, Mirella, let's start with you. You heard Hillary Clinton's concession speech. Took a long time for her to get to the stage and give it. What did you take away from that? What did you hear that you found interesting?
You know, Hillary Clinton hardly ever gets emotional, as we've all talked about before. In fact, that was one of her problems. People said they didn't feel like she understood what they were feeling or talking about a lot of the time because she didn't portray it necessarily in her actions or on her face. But today you could see it. This has hit her. It has hit her very hard. Some of us are speculating as to why she didn't give that concession speech at the venue, which was prepared with thousands of people waiting. And I think she had to have a moment to herself or a moment to an hour to compose herself, to understand what had happened and to try and just be okay with it for long enough to give that speech she did today. Look, I think she was gracious in her concession. What could she say? What could she do? She had to take the high road and say, okay, the people have spoken. We got it wrong. Obviously, we didn't realize how deeply divided Americans really are. That's what she said. And she said, it's going to be painful for her, for all of her supporters, and it's going to be painful for a very long time, Don.
I'm curious, Mirella, I'll stick with you on this one. Is this goodbye from Hillary Clinton? Does she just fade away now, or is there life after this defeat?
You know, if I were to guess, I would say she's going to take a very long break away from the public eye. I mean, she's 69 years old. This is her second shot at the top job. It's exhausting. We know the process, the American process, is very tough to get through. And not only tough on her, but tough on everybody she knows, her family included. So if I were to guess, she's going to take a very long time off, and then she'll pop back up, but not in a political way. She'll pop back up in sort of the second layer somewhere, either working for the foundation, something like that. She's been around a long time. She must be exhausted. She must feel defeated. And she probably wants to work on whatever she wants to work with herself in mind and a much smaller venue.
Okay, I guess we shouldn't forget that Donald Trump says she's going to go to jail, but that's another discussion altogether. Scott, I want to go to you now. Donald Trump gave a very un-Trump-like concession speech last night. I just sort of wonder, was the whole campaign an act, and a real kinder, gentler Donald Trump's going to emerge now?
That's an interesting point, Don, because listening to his speech last night at about 2:30 in the morning or whatever it was, you got the sense that someone pushed a button or something like that, and all of a sudden he stuck to the prompter, stuck to the points. He sounded gracious. He sounded nice. His language towards Hillary Clinton was very open and extremely positive. He said that she was a very good opponent, someone who has dedicated her life to public service and should be admired for that. Meanwhile, days ago, his audience is practically saying that she should be thrown in jail. And as you mentioned, he's, in one of the debates said that perhaps there should be an investigation into her. So it was weird seeing that change all of a sudden, but I think he has no choice under the circumstances.
A quick thought to you before I go back to Marilla. Tomorrow's a big day as well. I guess the new president-elect comes to the White House, a building he's never been inside. What do you expect from that?
Well, it was weird seeing the president walk out to address the reporters about, the results of the election. And he said, I look forward to meeting with Donald Trump. Meanwhile, just, 24, 48 hours ago, he was campaigning, viciously attacking Donald Trump, calling him completely unfit for office, completely unfit for the White House. Tomorrow sometime at one point, he's going to open the door and greet him like his friend and basically start the transition for Donald Trump taking over the White House.
Marilla, I'll bring you back into this discussion. I wonder, is this partly a sexist decision by voters? Do you sense that this might be a reaction to people that said, we don't want a woman in the White House? Is that part of what happened last night?
It's interesting because I've talked to a couple of people, one who is actually a Canadian who's been living here in New York for about 18 years, and she definitely thinks it's a backlash against women. They don't want women in that top spot quite just yet. And she thinks that was a message that they were sending home, because not only did they reject really the only woman to get this far who seems to be experienced sort of from A to Z, or Z as they say in the US, but they also embraced someone who's had some serious allegations made about his behavior, his comments made towards women. So they went from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, and she believes that sends a very clear message. But let me say something else to you. There are those who would suggest it also has to do with race. You had the first black man in the White House, and some are saying they weren't ready for that and they never did accept that, so they have to go back now to something that they were used to, more traditional, a man and a white man in the White House. So I've heard both of those arguments made today here in New York.
All right. Interesting. All right. Thank you both. Appreciate you coming on the show. All right, to look ahead to our country's relationship with the new administration, we have Canada's ambassador to the U.S., David McNaughton, is in Kitchener, Ontario today. Welcome, Ambassador. I want to get your first thoughts on NAFTA. Donald Trump put that as number one on his hit parade throughout the campaign. What happens now when he comes to you and says, sit down, we're going to have a chat about renegotiating this?
Well, I think, we have to realize that, first of all, that NAFTA's been a tremendous boon to the economy of the United States, as well as Canada and Mexico. There's been a fourfold increase in trade since NAFTA was signed. And, particularly between Canada and the United States, we have integrated supply chain in our manufacturing operations. We have an integrated energy network. And so I think any deal that's ever been done can always be improved, and certainly if the president-elect wants to have a discussion about improving NAFTA and having discussions about that, we're happy to do so. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I think in any negotiation, everybody brings something different to the table. And so if there's going to be a discussion about improving NAFTA, there's probably some things that we'd like to see improved in it, too.
How do you see that happening? Would it be without Mexico? Would it be a Canada-US talk? Or would it still be the three countries together at the table?
Well, I mean, NAFTA is a tripartite agreement. And I think what Mr. Trump said, or at least was written in his platform, was that he wanted to see improvements to it. And if it couldn't be improved, then he would scrap it. So I think, you know, certainly from Canada's point of view, we'll look to see what he'd like to see improved. And as I said, I'm sure we would like to see some things in NAFTA that are improved too. I can't speak for Mexico, so they'd have to have their own opinion on the subject. But we're certainly open to anything that will benefit the Canadian economy. And I think what we've shown is the relationship, the economic relationship between Canada and the United States is of benefit to both parties. And I think, you know, President Trump will want to continue that.
I can see the negotiations now. You'll want to get softwood lumber into the deal, and he'll want a better protection for his new friends in Michigan, their car industry. Is this the sort of give and take you can see happening at the table?
Well, certainly, I'd love to see freer trade in softwood lumber, and that would be an interesting discussion to have. Certainly, though, in terms of the auto industry, again, you know, the integrated supply chain between Canada and the United States doesn't just benefit Canada, particularly in the auto trade. It benefits the United States, too. And I think the last time I was on with you, Don, we talked about the fact that 25% of Canadian manufactured goods have American, 25% of the manufactured right. goods in Canada have American content. So, I think what the new president will find is that Canada and the United States trade works out extremely well for both sides.
Sounds like you might be pushing against an open door to get this administration to give the green light to the Keystone pipeline. I'm wondering, are you going to start twisting arms to make that happen in Washington?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously any of the individual projects, including Keystone, it's up to the proponents to decide what they want to do. I don't know. I haven't spoken to TransCanada today, so I don't know what their intention would be. The Prime Minister has made it quite clear that part of our responsibility as a government is to help get Canadian products to market, and that includes oil and gas products. So we have an integrated energy network, oil, gas, hydro, renewables, and we'll be looking to, you know, expand that relationship with the United States because I think it's in both countries' interest.
I think some people are nervous, Nellie's, because of his talk of a wall to Mexico, that it's going to be a thicker border between Canada and the U.S. Do you think that's a risk that we're taking with this new president?
You know, we negotiated with the previous administration or the current administration a pre-clearance agreement, which involves more information sharing, tracking entry and exit of citizens, and more open borders between Canada and the United States. We're interested in security just as much as the United States is interested in security. So I don't really see that as being a stumbling block. I think, you know, we will sit down and with the new administration, and we'll be wanting to talk about making both our citizens safe. And I think we're very much interested in that. I'm sure the new administration will be interested in that too. As far as, you know, strength. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in terms of you know, building things and making people pay for them. I mean, one of the things that hopefully we are able to move ahead with fairly quickly is the new Gordie Howe Bridge, which right. Canada is putting up the money for. So, and that'll strengthen the trade between Canada and the United States. So we've already had some experience with paying for things.
I don't think he'll object to that. A quick last point. Are you going to be pushing Trump to make Canada's first foreign trip?
Well, I think the Prime Minister will have a conversation with President Trump soon, or President-elect Trump soon, and I wouldn't want to scoop what he might ask him, but I suspect that that may be on the agenda.
All right. Ambassador, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate this.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay, he's worked with the Obama administration on trade and environmental issues. After the break, former Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird sizes up the new challenge confronting Trudeau about Trump. Please stay with us. All right, let's get some reaction from someone who has seen U.S. politics up close and personal. Former Foreign Affairs and Environment Minister John Baird joins us from Toronto. All right, John Baird, you saw this upset coming, did you?
You know, I mean, you could see it in the size of the crowds. You could see it in the desire for change, and you could see it in the amount of Americans, 75%, who felt their political system was corrupt. I mean, obviously, I liked Hillary. I worked with her. She's a friend. This wouldn't have been the result I would have chosen, but you could see this coming for a while.
How challenging do you think it's going to be for Canada to mesh with a Trump presidency, given that we're usually on very different pages with a lot of policies?
Well, I mean, I think the most alarming thing is the amount of protectionism coming out of the Trump campaign, and frankly from the Democratic Party. So you're going to see it from both the right and the left, and that's going to make it. Incredible.